Title of this morning's message is What to Do When Life Gets Hard. What to do when life gets hard. I think it's safe to say that we all have had times when we could honestly admit life seems pretty hard. There are three things we must do when life gets hard, and each one includes the word consider. A couple of definitions to start. Webster's Dictionary defines consider this way: to think carefully about, to think, believe, or suppose, to bear in mind, and to show consideration for. Vine's Bible Dictionary defines consider this way: to perceive clearly and to understand fully. So we can see from these definitions that the word consider has to do with the mind. Webster says to think carefully about, to bear in mind. The word consider also has to do with the prolonged thoughts we hold in our minds. Vine says to perceive clearly, to understand fully. The word consider intimates the connotation of visualizing and imagining something. In other words, the word consider is the way we think and the way we see things, listen, on a continual, habitual basis. The word consider is the way we think and see things. How many know you don't just see with your eyes, you can see with your mind? Vines goes on to say this under the definition of the word consider. Of Abraham's careful consideration of his own body and Sarah's womb as dead, and yet accepting by faith God's promise. Romans 4, verse 19. Of considering fully the apostle and high priest of our confession, Hebrews 3 and 1. Of thoughtfully considering one another to provoke unto love and good works, Hebrews 10, verse 24. There are three things we must do when life gets hard. The first comes from Romans 4:19. The second comes from Hebrews 3:1. The third comes from Hebrews 10:24. And each verse contains the word consider. So let's start in Romans chapter 4, and let's read verses 18 through 21. You got your Bibles this morning? Let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 18 through 21. This is the story of how Abraham manifested the promise of God in his life to become the father of many nations. How many of you are in the process of manifesting the promise of God in your life? Can I see your hands? Amen. This is how Abraham did it, and you can do it the same way. Romans 4, verse 18. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, speaking about Abraham, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, referring to God, that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Now I want to draw your attention to the phrase in verse 19, he, Abraham, did not consider his own body. Why didn't Abraham consider his own body? Answer, because it contradicted God's word, which is the truth. How many know there's a difference between truth and facts? The fact was, Abraham's body and Sarah's womb were both dead as far as having a baby was concerned. But was that the truth? If that was the truth, then they never would have had a baby when they were about 100 years old. But they did have a baby, didn't they?
Yes.
Here's what that means. The truth of God's word can always supersede the facts. I'll say it again. The truth of God's word can always supersede the facts. God says something in his word, the sense realm contradicts it, that's when life gets hard. Let me say that again. God says something in his word, the sense realm contradicts it, that's when life gets hard. Say it after me. God says something in his word the sense realm contradicts it. That's when life gets hard. There's three things we must do when life gets hard. You ready for number one? Don't consider sense knowledge contradiction. Don't consider sense knowledge contradiction. Don't consider means don't dwell on it. Don't focus on it. What's the greatest obstacle to success? Sense knowledge contradiction. Let's talk about success when it comes to healing and living in divine health. What's the greatest obstacle when it comes to healing and living in divine health? Sense knowledge contradiction. Hello. It's the pain in my body that's contradicting 1 Peter 2:24. Actually, let's say it this way. It's the fact that I can feel pain in my body that's contradicting the truth of 1 Peter 2:24. We're going to learn how to deal with this today. Sense knowledge contradiction is the greatest obstacle to success in every area of your life, and the greatest obstacle to success when it comes to healing and living in divine health is sense knowledge contradiction. Listen, and sometimes that sense knowledge contradiction shows up in the form of pain. I may feel pain in my body, but I don't have to consider the pain in my body. I don't have to dwell on the pain in my body. I don't have to focus on the pain in my body. What do you do when you wake up in the middle of the night and your body's in excruciating pain? Am I the only one that has had that experience in this life? Anybody else had that experience any time in your life? I received a phone call from someone, and this person called me late. It was late at night. And on the verge of tears, this person said, "Jim, I am in so much pain. What should I do?" Now, how many know it's a lot easier to give advice to someone when you're not the one suffering? Amen. Amen. I remember earlier this year, I woke up in the middle of the night and my throat was in pain, pain, pain. My body was aching. And I woke up in the middle of the night and this thought leaped into my mind. "Oh, Jim, the last 2 weeks, haven't you heard everybody talking about the flu that's going around? So what do you do when you wake up in the middle of the night with pain in your body? The first thing you must do is you don't consider sense knowledge contradiction. You don't consider the pain. You don't focus on the pain. You don't dwell on the pain." Now, we're going to find out what to do. See, it's not enough just to say, don't consider the pain. What do you do? We're going to get there in just a minute. But let me prove to you that it's possible to do what I just said. It's possible not to consider the pain. And the pain will go away. Want me to prove it to you? Have you ever had the experience where you had pain in your body, but then you had to do something that required you to focus and concentrate on something else? And when you stopped working on that something else, you felt the pain in your body again. Have you ever had that experience? So it's possible for pain to go away by not considering it and by focusing on something else. That proves it right there, doesn't it? So it is possible. When God's word says, don't consider sense knowledge contradiction, when it says that Abraham did not consider his own body, he did not consider his own body because everything was working good. He didn't consider his own body because he was 100 years old and God said, "You're going to have a baby boy." That's a challenging statement from the Word of God. The Word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. That can be challenging sometimes when there's sense knowledge contradiction. What are we talking about again today, saints? What do you do when life gets hard? There's three things we must do. Number one, don't consider sense knowledge contradiction. Now let's move into the second thing we must do when life gets hard. Flip over to Hebrews 3, verse 1. Hebrews 3, verse 1 gives us the second thing we must do when life gets hard. Hebrews 3, verse 1, reading from the New King James Version. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider," oh, there's that word consider again, "consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, We talked about what not to consider. Now let's talk about what to consider. It's not enough to just say, don't consider sense-knowledge contradiction. You have to fix your thoughts on something else. You have to focus on something else. Let me talk to the golfers for a minute. You're getting ready to set up for that shot, and between where you are and where you want that ball to be is a big lake. And your buddy says to you, now remember, don't hit the ball into that water. Where's the ball going to go?
In the water.
Whatever you focus on increases in your life. Hebrews 3:1 tells us what to consider. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. When life gets hard, think about Jesus. When you wake up in the middle of the night with that pain in your body, think about Jesus. When life gets hard, think about what Jesus did for you on the cross. When life gets hard, think about what Jesus is doing for you right now at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Let's break Hebrews 3:1 down, and then let's identify the second thing we must do when life gets hard. Let's look at the word consider in Hebrews 3:1. Sometimes the best way to understand the meaning of a word in the Bible is to look at another translation. So let's see how some other translations define the word consider in Hebrews 3, verse 1. The New International Version says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. The New Living Translation says, think carefully about Jesus. The Message says, take a good, hard look at Jesus. Now, I don't know if it says it with the Bostonian accent, so you'll have to let that part go. But the Message does say, take a good, hard look at Jesus. The Amplified says, thoughtfully and attentively consider Jesus. The New International Reader's Version says, keep thinking about Jesus. The Worldwide English says, take time to think carefully about Jesus. Now, what exactly about Jesus are we to think carefully, thoughtfully, and attentively about? First, we're to think about Jesus the Apostle. The word apostle means one sent forth. God sent Jesus from heaven to the earth to do what? Psalm 107:20 gives us one answer. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Who's the word? Jesus. He sent his word means he sent Jesus. To do what? To heal and to deliver. Jesus came to the earth to heal and to deliver. Was he successful? Was Jesus successful? Of course he was. Then consider the success of Jesus. When life gets hard, consider the success of Jesus. When you wake up in the middle of the night with that pain in your body, consider the success of Jesus. It's not enough just not to consider sense-knowledge contradiction. You've got to have something to consider. Consider the success of Jesus. God sent Jesus so we could be healed and live in divine health. So we could, listen, so we could be delivered and live free from addictions. So what are we to consider? We're to consider Jesus the healer and Jesus the deliverer. We're to see ourselves healed and delivered. Question, how do you see yourself? Good question. How do you see yourself when there's pain in your body? Are you one of those people like I used to be? That's how you let the audience off the hook. Are you one of those people like I used to be who immediately thinks of picking up the phone and telling a friend about all your problems? Say this after me. Wasn't sure where to go after that bomb. Okay, now listen. Say this after me. I'm the healed.
I'm the healed.
Say this. I'm the delivered.
I'm the delivered.
Amen. That's the way you see yourself. You're the healed. We're to think about Jesus as our apostle, the one sent to heal us, the one sent to deliver us. Second, we're to think about Jesus as high priest. You're still in Hebrews 3:1. Consider the what? The apostle and high priest. So second, we're to think about Jesus, the high priest. The high priest in the Old Testament brought the sacrifice to God on behalf of the people. A high priest goes to God on behalf of the people. Jesus went before the Father on our behalf to secure an eternal redemption. Hebrews 4:14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." The word "seeing" means to consider and think about. Consider and think about what? Think about Jesus, the great high priest, passing through the heavens at his resurrection and taking his rightful seat at the Father's right hand, and then, listen, and then see him presenting the sacrifice of your words to the Father. What's a high priest do again? He brings a sacrifice before God on behalf of the people. See Jesus bringing the sacrifice of your words before the Father. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of what? Our confession. What's our confession? The words we speak, the words we say. How many know sometimes it's a sacrifice to speak God's word in the face of sense knowledge contradiction? Let me ask that again. How many know that sometimes it's a sacrifice to speak God's word in the face of sense knowledge contradiction? That's why Hebrews 4:14 says, hold fast. Hold fast. Why? Because your words are what Jesus presents to the Father so he can make them good in your life. Ready for the second thing you must do when life gets hard? Number two, consider Jesus. That's the first part of it. Consider Jesus. Consider what about Jesus? Well, first, consider the success of Jesus. He already felt everything you're feeling. He already went through everything you're going to go through. Isn't that amazing? How could God, the one we worship, put together a plan where he himself comes to the earth in a human body and experiences every feeling and emotion we'll ever experience? You know what that's called? Mind-boggling. But that's why we worship him, and that's why we praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. He knows what you're going through. When life gets hard, consider this. Jesus has been there. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're going through. Okay, consider this number two now. What are we talking about again today, saints? Three things we must do when life gets hard. This is number two. Consider Jesus as your apostle, the word of God, and as your high priest, the one who brings your words before the Father so he can make them good in your life. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of what? In Hebrews 3:1, he's the apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of the words you speak. Speak the wrong words. All wrong words are words that don't agree with this book. So if you're wondering, oh, I wonder what wrong words, I wonder if I said that, I wonder if that was wrong to say. Well, is it written in this book? That's wrong words. When you speak wrong words, Jesus, your high priest, has nothing to work with at the right hand of the Father. Wow. So it's possible for us to tie the hands of God, so to speak. I want to encourage you to listen to Don's message again from last week. We were listening to it. Joe and Walt and I were listening to it this morning when we were getting set up. It's really, really powerful. The CDs are back there, and it also comes with a handout. Here's just a couple of quick things what he said on that CD. Jesus showed us how to handle the challenges of life, and now we are to agree with God's example. We walk with God by agreeing with God in his word, and one of the ways we agree with God is by saying the same thing about our lives that God says about our lives in his word. That's called holding fast to your confession. Vine says that the word confession denotes confession by acknowledgement of the truth. Confession by acknowledgement of the truth. Now let's take it one step further. Where are we at? Hebrews 4? Go to Hebrews 10. This is going to take us into our final point. Final thing we must do when life gets hard. But before we do that, let's just take this confession business and what God does with our words one step further. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now let me read it from the Amplified. Hebrews 10, 23, reading from the Amplified translation. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. The first part of the verse is our responsibility. We ought to maintain our confession of God's word. The second half of the verse is God's responsibility. When we continually speak God's word, God promises that he's faithful to perform it. What put Abraham over in Romans 4:21? Abraham was fully convinced that what God promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham did his part, and God did his part. Say this, I've got to do my part, and when I do my part, God will do his part. Sweeping statement now. God performing his word in your life is not dependent on your performance. God performing his word in your life is not dependent on your performance. It's dependent on the performance of Jesus and what he did for you, not what you can do to earn or deserve the blessing of God. This is what causes most believers to stumble. They think, well, Jesus can't do anything with my words because I'm not measuring up to whatever my own consideration of the truth is. Sometimes it's better not to consider what you think about it and consider what God thinks about it. How do I find out what God thinks about a particular situation? It's in his word. 2 Timothy 2:13 from the Amplified Translation says this, if we are faithless, do not believe and are untrue to him. He remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character. For he cannot deny himself. Wow. God's word is true whether you believe it or not. But in order for it to work for you, for the promises of God to manifest in your life, you've got to speak them and believe them. And believing them means acting on God's word by the power of the Spirit. Remember Don said last week, a believing heart acts on God's word through the power of the Spirit. God performing his word in your life starts by accepting God's word as the source of truth for your life. God performing his word in your life starts by accepting God's word as the source of truth for your life. You're going to accept one or two things as the basis for God performing his word in your life. Number one, your performance and your achievements. Why is God doing this in my life? Oh, because I was really, really good the last 3 days.
Yeah.
God performing his word in your life. It's not dependent on your performance. It's dependent on the performance of Jesus. That's why step number two, when life gets hard, is consider the success of Jesus. Don't consider your own sense knowledge contradiction. Don't consider what you think about it. Okay, review. Number one, what do we do when life gets hard? Number one, don't consider sense knowledge contradiction. Number two, consider Jesus. Consider the success of Jesus. The third thing we must do when life gets hard is found in Hebrews 10, verse 24. You're right there in Hebrews 10, verse 24, reading from the New King James Version, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. There's that word consider again. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Ready for the third thing that you must do when life gets hard? You've got to consider your love walk. When life gets hard, consider your love walk. Check up on whether you're walking in love or not. God's frequency is a love frequency. When we walk in love, we're living on God's frequency, and his power is free to flow through our lives. When we step out of love, we're off of God's frequency, and his power is of no avail to us in our lives. Faith activates God's power. And faith works by love. The third thing you must do when life gets hard is consider your love walk. Final scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 1, reading from the Amplified Translation. Let love for your fellow believers continue and be a fixed practice with you. Never let it fail. This is one of the reasons it's so important to be faithful in fellowship, so you can get around the people who love you. You've got to get around the people who encourage you and support you and pray for you. Go where you're celebrated, not just tolerated. Go where you're celebrated, not just tolerated. Go where people love you. Go where people are going to be praying for you. Go where people are going to encourage you. See, when you get around people that encourage you and love you and pray for you, that's where you find God's favor. Wow. Say this, my power is based on God's favor. Amen. God's favor is found in an atmosphere of love. Amen. Let's review. What are we going to do when life gets hard? Number one, we're not going to consider sense knowledge contradiction. Number two, we're going to consider Jesus. We're going to consider the success of Jesus. We're going to consider him as our apostle, the one God sent to heal us. Was he successful? Yes, he was. Consider the success of Jesus. We're going to consider Jesus as our high priest. High priest of what? Our confession. The high priest goes before God on behalf of the people with the sacrifice. Jesus Christ is alive. And don't you love it when there's the opportunity to preach? Jesus Christ is alive at the right hand of the Father as your high priest, bringing the sacrifice of your words before the Father. So your heavenly Father, your dad, that he can make your words good in your life. And number three, consider your love walk. Check up on whether you're walking in love. Amen. How many know what to do now when life gets hard? Can I see your hands? Amen. All you have to do is put it into practice. When you act on God's word, that's when the power of God moves in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, thank you for paying the price, so that we could live victoriously and successful in every area of our lives. Lord Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood and transforming typed pages of a book called the Holy Bible into a living reality. And now, Lord Jesus, as we fix our gaze on you, alive and seated at the right hand of the Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to keep us mindful to only speak God's word, so that you will present our words and our agreement with God and what he said in his word to our Heavenly Father, so that he will make them good in our lives. Holy Spirit, thank you for sealing the revelation of God's word in every heart, transforming every life for the glory of Jesus. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.